Thanks, Alex. We are going to open up our Bibles. If you've got a Bible there, if you can open up to Genesis chapter 1. So this morning we are looking at rest, which I think is a big topic for us. This is one of those topics that I've been very excited to share about because in my own life in the last couple of months it's become really significant. And I think there's something really profound and important for us and for our faith in it. So we're going to have two readings this morning. The first one is Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 24. And then we'll flick over to Matthew 11. So Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 24 through to chapter 2, verse 3. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.' Then God said, 'I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food.' And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished all the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he'd rested from all the work of creating that he had done." If you'd like to turn across to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28. These are the words of Jesus. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As we come to God's word, let's pray. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the way that you love us. You have made us with bodies, minds with incredible capacities, and yet we need rest. Because you have made us with bodies and minds, we need rest. And I thank you that this is a good part of your creation. I pray, Lord, as we come to your word, that you would give us a sense of your peace, a sense of your grace, calm and still the worries and fears in our hearts that we might rest in you. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Well, when I was a child in primary school, I played violin. And by all reports, I was pretty good at violin. Those reports mainly come from my mum, so they're probably a little bit biased. But by all reports, I was pretty good at the violin. I played for a few years, and after a few years, kind of just became a little bit like a chore, and so I stopped playing violin. Now, it won't surprise any of you to hear that I have completely forgotten how to play the violin. I could probably look convincing holding it maybe, but the moment I actually started to play, you would realize that I've forgotten completely how to play the violin. And that's not surprising because I haven't done it in over 2 decades, right? So none of you will be surprised at that. During the height of the COVID lockdowns, I was a little bit surprised to discover that I had forgotten how to rest. Now, that might sound surprising. I mean, resting, right? Matt, really? Resting? How hard is it? It's a little bit like falling off a log, isn't it? Like, how do you forget how to rest? Well, maybe you guys are more clever than I am. But after a long time of not doing it, I actually discovered that I had forgotten how. When I stopped to rest, I was cranky and I was angry and I was irritated with those around me. Every day off, I just seemed to be a complete and utter narc. I seemed incapable of sitting still, of actually just being still. My mind was always buzzing. My brain was always ticking, even if my body was still. I would subconsciously find my phone in my hand opening YouTube or Facebook before I'd even given it a conscious thought. I was very, very quick to throw a screen in front of my kids so that I could throw a screen in front of myself because I just didn't want to kind of think about anything. I would go for a walk and I would actually have to multiple times in a walk that was purely for me to just relax, I would actually have to physically slow myself down because I was walking as though something was pursuing me. I would wake up each morning completely trashed. I would go to sleep each night and not actually be able to go to sleep. I was constantly using caffeine and sugar to get me through the day. I had forgotten how to rest. Now, here's what you need to understand. I took days off. When it was holiday time, I took holidays. I had no shortage of me time or downtime. But I was constantly restless. And COVID ramped up for me something that was there all along. It actually took a crash in my own health for me to actually do something about it. I needed to relearn how to rest for the sake of my health, for the sake of my family, for the sake of my faith. I actually needed to relearn how to rest. My aim this morning is really very simple. I want to show you that God has woven rest into the fabric of creation. I want to show you that a lack of rest is actually a symptom of a deep inner restlessness in us. And I want us to look at Jesus, who is himself the source of rest. Let me begin by giving a very brief overview of rest in the Bible. This is a topic that you could explore in the Bible much more than we will this morning. Rest begins right back at creation. In the Genesis account of creation that we just read, God himself creates and he honors rest. So in Genesis 1, we meet a God who creates the heavens and the earth and life itself in 6 days. And after he finishes his work, each day he says, "It is good. It is good." He makes a good creation. As the narrative progresses, it reaches a high point on day 6 when God chooses to create humanity in his image. So after making humanity in his image, we hear this. Genesis 1:31. God saw all that he had made and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the 6th day. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And this marks the finale of God's creation, the high point of God's creation, when he creates humanity in his image to love and serve him. But it doesn't stop there. The narrative doesn't stop there. Having created everything, the narrative continues. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. By the 7th day, God had finished all the work that he had been doing. So on the 7th day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Do you get it? God creates and it is good. He creates humanity in his image, male and female in his image, and it is very good. But when God rests, when he ceases to work and rests, he blesses that day and calls it holy. What is holy? When something is holy, it is set apart and blessed for the worship and purposes of God. If the word holy sounds kind of stiff and restrictive, let me just say that's probably a little bit of cultural baggage that you may be carrying. Holiness is about sacred delight and purpose. And that is rest. It points that both the work and the rest is built into the pattern of creation. God has built work and rest into the pattern of his good creation, good things that God created for his purpose. As the big story of the Bible continues, sin enters the world through the human rebellion, and there is a rupture in the good creation that God has made, and that includes both our work and our rest. Why is it that work can be sometimes so good, so satisfying, so fruitful, and yet sometimes so futile and pointless and difficult? Why is it that rest sometimes is so beautiful and life-giving, and yet sometimes just so difficult for us? Because the sinful rupture in creation has affected both our work and our rest. As the story continues, God begins his plan of redemption. He chooses the Israelites, redeems this people from slavery in Egypt. He sets them apart as his holy people. And having rescued them, he gives them law, 10 commandments, that so that they know how to relate to him and how to relate to each other as living as his redeemed people. Again, we return to the idea of rest. So in Exodus 20, we hear this Sabbath command, one of the 10 commandments. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and is all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He commanded them to rest from their labor. Everyone, servants, animals, everyone, set this day apart as holy, a day of rest and worship for God. Why? Because God himself rested on the seventh day, and he set it as a pattern for us to follow. What's interesting is in Deuteronomy 40 years later, Deuteronomy chapter 5, 40 years later, Moses again repeats the Ten Commandments for the Israelites. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because of their rebellion. They recap the Ten Commandments as they are about to go into the Promised Land. Now, what is interesting is when he gives the Sabbath command, it's exactly the same. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you should labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day, yada, yada, yada. But there's a different reason given. Same command, but with a different reason. He says this, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Why should we rest? Why should we rest? They were slaves to an evil God, King Pharaoh, who oppressed them and worked them to death in his slavery. And God rescued them. He redeemed them. He is bringing them into a promised land and bringing them into his freedom. They are not to be slaves anymore. Notice that in both places, the Sabbath command talks about remembering. Adam Mabry says this, "The Sabbath ritual of rest is given for us to remember God, ourselves, and the true story of the world. Letting go of rest means acquiescing to the spiritual amnesia that so tragically marked our forebears." Remember to rest. Why do we rest? Because God is our good creator who's built it into the fabric of creation. Why do we rest? Because God is our great redeemer that brings us out of slavery. Why do we rest? because we need to constantly remember who God is, who we are, what the story of the world actually is. And it is so easy for us to forget it. As Christians, this side of the cross, we are not bound to obey Old Testament laws. But we do look to them for wisdom. And in this case, surely it is wisdom. In the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews talks about rest actually being the goal of creation. You can find this in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. The writer describes the goal of our faith as entering into the Sabbath rest of God, finally and eternally resting with God. If we are to take faith seriously, we need to take rest seriously. It is woven into the creation by a loving God. It is a sign of our liberation by God, and it is the end to which God is inviting us. If we are to take faith seriously, we need to take rest seriously. If you imagine that I've woven together a beautiful tapestry, it hangs together beautifully and it's filled with beautiful colors. Now imagine that I reach around the back, I grab some of the threads, I cut them, I wrench them out the back. What is going to happen? The tapestry will not hold together, and it will no longer be a beautiful picture. This is one of the myths of our culture, that we can rip out rest, the good thing that God has woven into the tapestry of our lives, and that somehow our lives will still hang together beautifully. In fact, I'm convinced that one of the reasons we struggle so much with rest is that we have simply forgotten God. Let me read you a little bit more of that quote that I read earlier. The Sabbath ritual of rest is given for us to remember God, ourselves, and the true story of the world. He goes on to say, if you reflect for a moment, you'll probably realize that the non-stop pace of Western world life is neither physically sustainable nor spiritually beneficial. It is, however, a remarkably effective way to slowly forget God. What is it that stops us from resting? I mean, surely we can agree that the pace of life has reached absolute fever pitch. Now, we could point to so many things. The increasing demands of work, the erosion of the boundaries between home and work because of mobile technology, the ubiquitous FOMO culture that is driven by social media. We could point to poor sleep habits, the caffeine and sugar roller coaster that many of us use to get through the day, the felt need to give our kids every single opportunity all the time, the pervasive consumerism that drives us more and more to keep up with the Joneses and keep working to try and keep up with the Joneses, the guilt-inducing wellness culture that demands organic free-range perfection in every single area of our lives, and the list goes on and on and on and on. There is an abundance of factors and they swirl all around us. But I want to suggest something. I want to suggest that all of those things are symptoms, not causes. They are symptoms. You know, it'd be really easy to point the finger at your boss or point the finger at your spouse or point the finger at your kids or point your finger at your friends. And some of you may well daydream about pointing a certain finger to your boss. But we are driven by something else. We are actually driven by something else. And next week, Steve is going to talk about work. And again, work, like rest, is a good thing that God has woven into creation. It's one of the purposes for which he made us. It's not about the seesaw of just getting the work-life balance just right so that we have optimum productivity and also adequate me time. It's not about a seesaw trying to get it just right. I want to put it to you that our lack of rest actually stems from a deep inner restlessness. A deep inner restlessness. It isn't just overwork. It is an inner restlessness that drives you to overwork. It isn't just social media. It is an inner restlessness that drives you to social media. It isn't just the frantic schedule, it is the restlessness that drives you to create the frantic schedule. I once sat with someone very dear to me. He said his life was a tightrope of constantly loading up his life with more and more and more and more, and then being overwhelmed and crashing. And you know why he did that? He knew he did it because he was desperately lonely and he didn't want to stop for long enough to actually address that loneliness, that restlessness. And it drove him into a cycle of commitment and overcommitment and then exhaustion. This restlessness is a problem in the heart, not a problem in our circumstances. We don't rest because we are afraid to face the fears and the insecurities that will haunt us if we were to hold still long enough and actually discover them. We don't rest because we are driving ourselves to be more and to do more and to have more and to achieve more because we feel like we have to have more and do more and achieve more and be more. We don't rest because we are unwilling to say no to things out of fear or out of pride. We don't rest because we feel like we are not safe and secure. And if we rest, if we stop, then we will not be able to survive. All of these things are false idols that promise us life and then grind us down with ever-increasing demands. Can I put a name on it? It is self-centered, self-reliant pride. Like a person who is holding a giant rock above their own head and they say, I can do it. And then after a while they say, I have to do it. And ultimately it becomes, if I don't do it, it will crush me. It is slavery. Slavery to self. And like slavery, it takes more and more and more from you until ultimately it kills you from exhaustion. If not physically, certainly spiritually. What is going to address that restlessness inside? Ultimately, we need to shift where we are looking for life. Jesus says these wonderful words, Matthew 11, and this is a balm to every strung out, worn out, tapped out soul. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we are going to find rest for our restless hearts, then we need to go to Jesus, the author of life, the creator of rest, the one who redeems us from slavery to false idols that promise us so much and then demand more and more and more from us. This is the gospel's great liberation of the human heart. You know, some people have a view of God that he is a demanding taskmaster who is never satisfied, and you've got to work yourself to the bone to please this ever-demanding God. That is just simply not true. That is not the picture of God in the Bible. One of the most ironic themes in the Gospels is the way that the Pharisees actually took God's good gift of Sabbath and they twisted it and turned it into a self-righteous religious burden. In Matthew 23, 4, Jesus describes their religion. He says, they tie up heavy and cumbersome loads and they put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. But that's not what Jesus says. That's not what he offers. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you see Jesus' antidote for the weary and the burdened? He says, I'll give you rest. I'll teach you to be gentle and humble like me. Now, if we turned away from our pride, our self-reliance, and we actually learnt the humility of Jesus, I guarantee that we would be far less driven, far less burdened, far less weary. Josh Garrels sums it up really beautifully in one of his songs. He says this: our rest is a weapon against the oppression of man's obsession to control things. Isn't that life? Our rest is a weapon against the oppression of man's obsession to control everything. Notice Jesus is putting a yoke on us. But it is not a yoke of slavery. It is not a yoke of oppression that drives us into the ground. It's not Pharaoh's yoke that uses you up until you are spent and dead. It is an easy, light yoke. You know, some people have kind of likened this to being yoked with Jesus. You know, we're kind of yoked together like two oxen pulling together and Jesus does all the work. That's a really attractive idea. I don't actually, though, think that is biblically what this is getting at. In the ancient world, a yoke was actually that you put on something that you put on someone's shoulders to help them carry a heavy load. It was actually a labor-saving device, if I can put it like that. It made their work easier. Coming to Jesus for life actually means submitting to him, his reign, his rule, his rest. What we are giving up, what we are leaving behind, what we are taking off is a proud, self-centered idolatry that enslaves us and drives us into the ground. And instead, we live our lives in obedience to the one who is humble and gentle, the master who is good, with the yoke that is light and easy. Someone has said this: it is a yoke of love, not of duty. It is the response of the liberated, not the duty of the obligated. And that makes all the difference. We can trust the yoke that Jesus places on our shoulders because we know the yoke that he bore for us. Think about Jesus walking up the hill of Calvary, sacrificing his life for us to redeem us from the slavery of sin. His crossbeam, that crossbeam that he would be ultimately nailed to for our sake, put on his shoulders, forced to drag it up the hill. And he carried it up that hill until finally they took him and nailed him to it, put him to death. All the junk inside that we don't want to look at, all the junk inside, the restlessness that we spend our lives running away from, all of the proud self-reliance that we think is going to give us life but is actually a false idol, all the sin that strips our restless hearts bare, he carries it all on his shoulders. That yoke of our sin crushed Jesus to death on the cross. And now that he has dealt with that crushing burden, the weight of sin and shame, he offers us life. In his death, we are given life. In his death, he gives you life. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to save yourself. You don't have to burn yourself out trying to do more or be more or achieve more. You don't have to be on this endless rat race trying to create life for yourself. In his death, he gives you life. And if God loved you so much, if the good and loving Father loved you so much that he gave up his one and only beloved Son for you, how much more will he graciously give you all things that you need? I want to encourage you to start pursuing rest with God, to pursue it. Ask God to deal with the sinful, proud restlessness in your own heart and to replace it with his peace and his grace and his rest. I want to urge you to develop some good patterns of rest that actually center your hope and center your trust in God, not in yourself. Sometimes choosing to rest is actually a recognition that you need God and you cannot do it yourself. In the booklet you've got there, or the booklet we can get to you at home, there are some things that some suggestions I've made for ways that you might want to do that. Maybe you want to kind of plan some days of Sabbath rest and actually give some thought and planning into what it might look like to have a day of rest. I've put in some notes there about maybe just intentionally having a habit of pausing, stopping, praying, breathing in your day. Maybe you need to actually start saying no to some things or no to some people. I would encourage you to think through the questions in the booklet, and I would really like to encourage you to actually talk them through with someone else. There's some questions there for you to reflect on, and I hope they're helpful as you kind of nut this out together. But I really would encourage you to actually find some real actual people to talk to about these things. Do it with your home group, or do it with a discipleship triplet, or sit down with a Christian friend for a coffee and actually have a chat about those questions after you've had a chance to think about them. You know, we actually might need to start saying no to some things, maybe even downshifting our career, maybe even downshifting our lifestyle. What a radical thought that we would downshift our career or downshift our lifestyle for the sake of our faith. Now, let me be really clear. This is not about rules and it's not about regulations. I'm not trying to find some other big stick to beat you with. Quite the opposite. I'm trying to give you a gift that can actually liberate your worn out hearts. And this is not about carving out a perfect, privatized, self-centered me time just for you. Okay? This is not about little bespoke hipster rest that just ticks every box for you. Because wouldn't that be ironic if you give up the slavery of self-centered self-reliance and then just use rest as another way of pursuing self-centered self-reliance? That would be kind of ironic and a little bit sad. This is about believing that life is found in Jesus. It is about coming to Jesus for rest. I want to urge you to actually come each week to worship at church, to make it part of your Sabbath worship. Obviously, things are a bit different for us now. Some of us are at home, I know that. But actually make worship at church a part of your Sabbath rest. This is where we come together to encourage one another in faith and in trust. It's where we remind one another of who God is and who we are and what the true story of the world is. This is where we hear again that because of the cross, we are free. And because we are free, we can rest. So come to Jesus, all who are weary and burdened, and he will give you rest. Take off that old yoke of sin and shame and leave it at the cross where it belongs. Because far stronger shoulders have carried that yoke for you. And instead, take on his yoke, the yoke of the gentle, humble, kind master, whose yoke is easy and light. You will find rest for your souls. In a moment, I want to pray to finish. But before we do that, I'd actually like us to do something a little bit countercultural. I actually just want us to take a moment to actually pause and rest and be still and be quiet, to close our eyes and actually to take some deep breaths in and out and to actually rest in Jesus. Now, this may feel really welcome and like a wonderful thing, or it might feel completely strange and alien because actually we're just not used to it. But I do want to take a moment again. If you're at home watching, please take a moment to do this. Close your eyes and pause and ask Jesus for rest and grace. Can we do that? Just close your eyes. Take a couple of deep breaths in and out and just take a moment to ask Jesus for his rest and his grace. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you have woven rest into the very fabric of creation. That you've given us as a good gift that reminds us again that we are free in you. That you invite us to rest with you eternally in peace. And in joy and in delight. We confess, Lord, that we've ignored you, that we've sought to scramble around and find life on our own, that we've fallen into habits and patterns and ways of life that actually help us to forget you and not remember you. And not have a living, vital relationship with you. Please forgive us. But Jesus, we come to you, the weary, the burdened, the restless, and we ask that you would give us rest. Teach us your gentle, humble ways. Put your light and easy yoke on us. Pour your life into us. And we thank you that everything that would stop us from knowing you, trusting you, relying on you, everything that would separate us from you, you dealt with on the cross. And did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And I pray that you would give us joy and peace with you forevermore. We pray this in your name. Amen.